Well, since you have been here since 65, do you know Dave Christensen?
Yeah.
Okay. He still thought it would be interesting for us to talk to you because he was of the opinion that you could give us some comparisons, perhaps, between the Saturn program, manufacturing engineering, and some of your past experiences. And I know you've written a couple of things about manufacturing engineering and the Saturn program, but we'd still like to find out about some of those things, maybe trace them down more completely. So as I kept arguing with you last week, we still want to talk to you.
Can't get out of it.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you did before then? You got into the Saturn program and maybe make some comparisons about engine.
Well, I worked in heavy industry in England, in steel. Mm-hmm. A company which makes components for the aerospace industry. And, I ran a division of that company. I spent a year building high voltage accelerators with another company, and then I came here. So I haven't really been involved in rocketry at all before I ever got here. Been involved in manufacturing operations all my life, but not in rocketry.
Did you replace somebody who was here, or were you brought in specifically to inject something new in the manufacturing operations?
It's it's very hard, as I know to my cost, to find people who are interested in operations and manufacturing and have a reasonable technical background at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I had a great falling out with the company I worked at with before, and I was looking for something. Specifically, Dave Christensen. I asked Dave whether he knew of anything going in Huntsville and Marshall, because I'd been here at the time. And he gave this information that I was, quote, available, unquote, to the right people. Mm-hmm. And Coors, who preceded me here, was looking for deputy at the time. Mm-hmm. And
what did you think of the manufacturing operations when you came here? Did you think that it was up to what you'd seen in private industry or behind? Were there special techniques that were unusual because of the space program?
Is this thing running?
I'm afraid it is. You want me to turn it off?
No.
Okay.
I think it is not comfortable. Objectives are different. This is really a research and development operation on a very large scale. Mm-hmm. And certainly the standards of the product are extremely high. And, the manufacturing operations have the object, of course, of producing a very high quality product. Everything is geared to that, to have the facilities available. And, it's a multi-purpose research facility of this scale, which you just wouldn't find in the industry. And that way it is different. The skills, of course, individual skills of the operators are very high. So I was delighted to be here.
Hmm. You found it interesting?
Well, yes. Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. Where did the operators come from? You speak of the operating skills of the individuals. Did they just kind of work into it over a long period of time with the space program?
I think so, yes. I think there was a nucleus at the start. They had high demands on skills and provided the necessary training. As you see in the Skylab program now, is that we've moved from a launch vehicle into a very sophisticated scientific pivot like the ATM, for the same, very self-same people we haven't been able to recruit anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's working like a charm. This proves the quality of the people.
Did you have the responsibility, too, of monitoring some of the manufacturing operations of the contractors?
All the manufacturing operations of the contractors and several tier defend of his own crimes.
Is it possible to make some distinction about the styles of the separate manufacturers? I mean, was Boeing different, say, for example, in North America? Was North America different from Douglas?
Each company has its own personality. I don't think even necessarily
you assign a
personality to a company, but if you talk about, let's pick North America, talk about space and SNID, was the Space and Information Division, it is different from the Lockheed, from the North American, what's it called?
You're thinking of Rocketdyne?
Oh, Rocketdyne Division, and it's also different from the, I was thinking of the main manufacturing division.
Los Angeles
Division,
yeah.
Yes, LA Division. And they're completely different in character. Yeah. So Los Angeles is an old-time manufacturing plant, which has very great longevity of the people. They've all worked together for a long time, and they're used to, they've got one operating mode. SNID was a new organization specifically created for the Apollo program, and it had a completely different character.
Well, wasn't one of the problems with that division, especially under Parker's leadership, that he had to put the whole thing together from other
I think most of the problems
of the company, or and from people off the street as well?
Maybe some of the problems were associated with the rapid buildup, but that applied to everybody. I don't really know. The problems with the space program manufacturing in all companies are really with the fact that you have a very rapid buildup, very rapid decline, and that it's very difficult to have a team which is built up as you would, for example, on a line of aircraft production. You build several hundred. So that you have to have a very close and very intimate working relationship between engineering and manufacturing and testing and various other operational parts of the company. And these relationships are built up over a period of time. Very hard to organize them. And the space program generally suffers on small projects. Smaller satellites, it's relatively easy, I guess, to put together a project team which stays of a size that is truly a team, even for the first unit. But if you get into a thing like one of the main stages of the Saturn, or the command module, and any of the other parts of the program, it's so vast that a team of several thousand people is very difficult to form on a rapid. It just takes time. I think this is one of the unique things about the Marshall Center. It's got a long continuous history, and their working relationships are well established. Everybody knows with whom they can work. So we truly have a team here which has been established through many programs and has that continuity. And that's the reason for the success of the center.
Isn't that team getting pretty old now, though?
Right. Well, yes, it's getting old, but a team isn't necessarily always the same people. A team can be replenished by recruiting,
but
I think one of the tragedies is that we haven't been able to recruit meaningfully in the last 5-6 years. I must be one of the last recruits.
Well, why is that?
Well, the agency has been under pressure. Declining funding.
Yeah.
Declining funding. No new missions, no new major missions. I think the manufacturing in the space program is interesting and challenging because for a number of reasons. One is that you've got to do it right the first time, which means that you've got to do a reasonable amount of preparatory work to make sure your processes work, your tooling works, your design is producible and all those things. And secondly, because it's so important that the first unit works that you can implement programs as insurance against failure in parallel with the main effort. For example, the S2 insulation was a doubtful area. So the first 8 were produced with honeycomb insulation externally, and the following, the S2-9 and subsequent were with spray foam. But that spray foam development took place in parallel with the production of the stages, just in case. By S28, the other insulation was also pretty good, but we changed over because of the greater reliability. And on many programs, these backup solutions are implemented. And again, the in-house capability gives us the possibility of doing the preparatory work, which I mentioned, and also the in-parallel insurance work, so that we can have parallel sort of parallel programs which could be implemented if the first approach by the contractor, for example, doesn't work.
Is this in-house kind of thing unique, rather, to Marshall, or is this a...
I think, to the best of my knowledge,
it's not necessarily a thing you would find in another large...
Not in a large, other program center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not in a program center, typically. Certainly not Houston or the Cape.
Yeah.
In fact, we've done quite a bit of work for Houston and the Cape in these kinds of things.
Could you comment on your relationships with Houston and the Cape, primarily Houston, in the different philosophies of in-house contract?
I don't know too much about the Houston philosophies, but I can say that I had residents. People had contractors for the Apollo program whose mission it was to make sure that all the available technologies were applied by each contractor so that if Boeing had a problem, they could go to Douglas, for example. And that was also a unique achievement of this organization. And it worked very well. We had joint manufacturing meetings with the main prime contractors and others, not only our Saturn contractor, but also the Apollo contractor. So Grumman, for example, took part. And we had resident people at the Houston contractors as well as at the Marshall contractors. And they communicated very well. And Houston, of course, welcomed us. So because they didn't have any comparable capability, they are now beginning to build it up a little bit by the appointment of a couple of guys to work the producibility aspects and the manufacturing aspects of the shuttle. And those two people were very intimately involved with our resident people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our resident people were not resident contractors to solve problems. They were there to make sure that attention was given to the problems by the contractor in the first instance. And then they made help available, if needed, by making the technology. By finding out where the technology existed, whether
mm-hmm.
it existed at another contractor's, for example, or whether it existed at in-house here at Marshall. And by this working together, many costs were avoided and many schedule impacts were minimized.
Did it happen very often? Maybe I misunderstood you, that if Boeing had a problem, they would go down to Douglas and say,
oh, yes.
Give us the help, and Douglas would very easily.
Oh, yes. Took a little. Little time to get it going, but it worked fine. And McDonnell and Grumman and North American all took part enthusiastically.
Mm.
And welding problems, insulation problems, wiring problems, manufacturing management problems.
Mm.
They all worked together very well. It was a real manufacturing team. It was quite remarkable.
Quite national proportion. But,
yeah, it even appeared in the reports to Congress. It was quite a 67 or 66. George Miller's report to Congress. He highlighted that.
When you came into the program, did you find that you had to develop, or there were in existence, certain processes or machines that were unique and exotic, and did you have to, even after 65, press the state of the art in manufacturing techniques, machines, and processes?
Oh, yes. The uniqueness may not be so much in the, well, the uniqueness of scale rather than of kind, I think. And the uniqueness of scale, of course, produces a uniqueness of kind because, for example, on welding a 33-foot diameter tank on a circumference, you've got to make 100 feet of weld to get around. And that 100 feet of weld has to be without flaws. And I don't think anybody ever made a weld 100 feet long continuously without flaws. So you say, okay, everybody knows how to weld fine.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you weld that degree of reliability that you never knew.
How did you develop the reliability?
By careful preparation and attention to detail. We did some research contracts on what causes pores and what causes cracks and what causes imperfections in the weld and what can be tolerated and what can't be tolerated. And developing process parameters. In fact, we have a research division whose prime task is A, to develop the process as such, and B, to develop process controls, automatic controls, so that the process is controlled to be within the limits that you need to set.
Did you have any particular problems in reading X-rays of wells, for example?
Well, yes, so in interpretation of X-rays, it's not difficult to take an X-ray, it's difficult to interpret it. And there was a long learning curve between the design labs and quality and ourselves of what could be tolerated and what could not. Any weld has a little, let's say, a little blister in it. Is that blister harmful or not? Well, two budding edges may not be exactly aligned, there may be slight offset. How much offset can you tolerate? These kinds of things have to be worked out over a long period. And, you know, what is perfect? Nothing is ever 100% perfect. But our requirements were very high. And, so that, over a long period, again, this teamwork gradually ironed out what a really good world looked like. A lot of experience, a lot of work, a lot of test samples, and a lot of effort.
So your approach was to try and iron out these procedures and techniques and then transfer it to the contractor's work?
Sometimes, yes. Or encourage the contractor to do it for himself. It's applicable. For example, the common bulkhead on the S2. That was contract to develop thing, but we encouraged it, we may even fund it.
Mm-hmm.
We may even fund studies. On these common bulkheads, we funded some considerable studies on how to build common bulkheads.
Didn't you also, at the same time, fund another study?
Yes,
with parallel development?
Yeah, with Douglas. For different, there were three different methods of building common
mm-hmm.
bulkheads.
But I think Marshall was thinking of lapping it. And
there were three ways of doing it.
Lapping and riveting.
No, never riveting. Butting and then putting a bond.